Coming up on Patriots This Week, with a championship pedigree, winning isn't the only thing, just the customary thing.
I know the expectations are always high every time we take the field, and I think it's good to have that.
So an opening night win looks good on paper, but the Patriots are their toughest critics.
We're not where we want to be.
Certainly wasn't perfect, but it was good enough, and we'll take that.
Now it's bring on the Bills. Buffalo's an old enemy with some new bluster.
I get it. They got all the trophies, and they got the record says what it is, but I don't fear them. I can tell you that much.
If familiarity breeds contempt, the battle has already begun.
I don't like New England. Don't nobody like the Patriots.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Patriots This Week. Bob Sosia with three-time Super Bowl champ, former Patriots linebacker Matt Chatham, and, of course, my partner on the radio, longtime Pats quarterback Scott Zolak. And, guys, last week we got together to reflect on the Patriots' win over the Steelers in the immediate aftermath. You've had a little more time and hopefully a little more sleep to think about it. Most positive takeaway from that win in week one?
The tight ends for me. I think the ability to take two guys that are 6 foot seven, Bob, put them not necessarily on the end of the line of scrimmage. I get excited as a former quarterback seeing them get outside the numbers because eventually you got to match them up with either a linebacker or a smaller corner. And it's just jump ball city, throw it up, let him go get it.
For me, it was the production of Julian Edelman early. I think we were in a situation here coming out of the Super Bowl, how big a role he had down the stretch, and then not having an entire training camp. I mean, I was ready and prepared to just see, hey, let's see where he is 3 or 4 weeks into this. Hit the ground running, looking like an absolute stud.
How about the biggest concern out of week one, especially looking ahead to Sunday's matchup in Buffalo?
That's your defense. It should be your run defense, right?
For me, it's not. I actually would go O-line. Not that it's a concern, just I'd like to see how it settles. I mean, it's an unanswered question, we'll call it, because I think weeks from now we're not going to know who they're going to go with. They rotated throughout that game. At some point, it might not even be this week. It might be 2 or 3 from now. They'll have to settle.
I think 4 or 5 weeks, it's going to be a work in progress. It might be even a rotation of guys. I mean, we saw him, Bob, even rotating tackles at one point. But they put 4 tight ends in a football game. I think there are other things they can do that could help, you know, those young offensive line in the middle. But for me, the run defense, you know, guys like Hightower, Collins, Mayo. Mayo only had 11 snaps. Marquise Grissom, I think, had 32 snaps, 22 more than Mayo. Eventually, I think that's going to get balanced. I think Jerod Mayo in the middle on first and second down, I think, is going to help stuff that run.
Well, speaking of the linebacker play and, of course, an approach that will likely be different this week as opposed to the first week, how much do you expect to change and how much of Pittsburgh's success on the ground was the result of the personnel the Patriots had on the field?
I would say high percentage, 80% of it, whatever it was. I mean, I think this is a game where, I haven't seen this before. This was, well, at least not a lot. This is 12 personnel, which is 2 big tight ends on the field, and them staying in nickel. Which
second time in 2 weeks he's used that.
Yeah, which some teams do. Some teams will continue to do nickel. There was actually times where they'd go dime. So if you go up and look at an offensive line, you look at the gaps that they have, and when they only have 5, sometimes 6 as the surplus, there's not enough gaps. I mean, there's not enough people for every gap. So at some point, there's a guy who has to take 2. He has to take a guy and have to make the tackle if it goes left and the tackle if it goes right. They conceded. It's not saying that they wanted to give up the number they gave. That's not the case at all.
People get caught up in yards, and you look at the amount of yards the Pittsburgh Steelers piled up. You force them to kick some field goals. They miss some field goals. Weather's an issue that night. And what do you want to do? You want to get beat with the big play over the top? I think they were more worried about, and we saw it several times with Antonio Brown getting behind Malcolm Butler. You want to eliminate the big play, so you kind of keep everybody up front.
Malcolm Butler, of course, had a tough cover in Antonio Brown. Now that you've had time to look at the film, what do you think about his performance? And also, what about the other guys in that secondary, in particular Bradley Fletcher and Terrell Brown?
Well, I think the thing you always need to acknowledge up front is when the quarterback is damn good and the wide receiver is damn good. And that's part of it. So
they're very damn good.
They're very damn good. And I think one of the
some damn bait.
Damn brewery. Anyhow, I think one of the things that Coach Belichick always says and we always hear him say is that he talks about competitiveness. He talks about guys that are near, you know, that try to make plays and the other team's going to concede some as well. I think one of the things you saw is they gave up plays. They absolutely did, but they were in the pocket. The thing that would cause concern is if they're getting smoked. I mean, if they're not anywhere near the guy, they're not competitive. In this case, they were competitive. There were plays that Malcolm won. There were plays that Malcolm lost. But you don't come off saying, if we played him again, we can't put that guy on that guy. That wasn't the case.
I thought Antonio Brown had three or four freakish catches, and I can't even believe he caught it, you know, alone the ball wasn't picked off. And I think Malcolm felt the same way. Even look at Malcolm at the end of the game. He still had swagger, still had confidence. Guys are going up to the sideline. He said, get away from me. I'm fine. I'm fine. He was in his hip pocket. And Antonio Brown will be, mark this down, will be here for 16 weeks. That's the best receiver he'll face all year. Now, they'll have some good ones, but I'm talking about the whole package, the explosiveness, the big play capability, the ability to make crazy, freakish catches, and that's what he did the other night. Now, you take it and you coach it up. Hey, Malcolm, you're there. You're in the hip pocket. Now let's get the hand in or let's look at the face. There's going to be other keys, and as Malcolm plays more in this league and gets more and more starts, and you know this, you read the keys of receivers. I thought he was fine, even though there were numbers given up against him. There's something to build on there. There really is.
This week, the Patriots get LeGarrette Blount back from suspension. What kind of a difference maker might he be against the Bills?
Deion Lewis has this huge week. Blount wasn't there, and James White never got a touch. So I think they come to the game with the same ability to say, if you go ahead and spend your entire week working on that guy, or go and spend your entire week on 11 personnel where you've got more wide receivers in the field, and we'll come out and play the whole game in something you didn't see as much last week. So that's sort of the beauty, and frankly, this is one of the few times where I think both teams are kind of gravitating toward that possibility.
And that guy might be the term that Rex Ryan uses when he refers to number 33 on film.
We even watched Philadelphia the other night. Darren Sproles, you know, in little spots and spaces. Deion Lewis reminds me of him, where I haven't seen a guy that quick, you know, coming out of the backfield. Or, I mean, we've seen Kevin Falk flex out, Shane Vereen. Vereen was great last year during the Super Bowl run, especially in that second half. Deion Lewis has a chance to really shake people out there.
Tom Brady, 19 straight completions at one point in week one for the Patriots quarterback. Now he goes up against a head coach in Buffalo whose defenses in New York generally created some problems for the Patriots, certainly more so than most teams. The comfort level for Tom, if he doesn't have Gronk on a consistent basis and Edelman on a consistent basis, where does he go with the ball?
It's a good question. It's a really good question. I think Scott Chandler becomes involved heavily. I think you also have to look to the backs getting involved outside. You could potentially see 20 personnel for fans at home. That's two backs in the backfield, and we'll call Gronk a non-tight end wide receiver and split him out. But the point is, you do have to find that third place of production. A year ago, it's Brandon LaFell, and you know you don't have that right now. So they got to find something. I think they have their scheme enough versatile where they'll be able to do it. But that's sort of the beauty of game planning. They don't know that either. So you have the ability to sort of do some catch and run plays, to do some hard sell play action. We've even seen Tom do a little bit of dash.
We even saw Aaron Dobson. Aaron Dobson in the game at points.
Great point.
He's got size.
Yeah.
I thought he did a pretty good job blocking downfield for some of those runs that eventually got outside in the slip screens.
Yeah.
And Danny Amendola, 2 years ago up in Buffalo, we saw him put his entire season on the line with a torn groin. Yeah. Tore it before the half, came out, and had massive third and fourth down catches late in that football game. Amendola can be. This could be a massive, massive game for Danny Amendola.
And isn't that the beauty of it? I mean,
Tom trusts him now, so that's the biggest part.
You can go 5, 6, 7 names in, and none of us would be surprised if the game plan shifted to that guy.
Throw it to Solder.
There you go.
They did that last year.
Do that too.
We'll continue with more of Patriots This Week right after this.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots, and by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Deion Lewis. The 5'8", 195-pound back had his first career start in the Patriots' win against the Steelers. Lewis ran for 69 yards and caught four passes for 51 more, leading the team with 120 all-purpose yards. Not bad for a back who hadn't been in an NFL game since 2012. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Welcome back to the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Bob Sosi with Matt Chatham and Scott Zolak on Patriots This Week. And Zoe, Mike Tomlin may have had you and I in his headsets last Thursday. Rashad Jennings, running back for the Giants, had Eli Manning in his head telling him not to score. Certainly the Giants gave the Cowboys too much time, and Dallas comes back to win that Sunday night game in bizarre circumstances, guys.
Whether you listen to the Giants radio call, whether you listen to the Dallas radio call, or the actual TV announcers, everybody thought, boy, they're never going to throw the football here. And Ivan, the problem I had with Eli Manning was, I think about 4 minutes left, he's snapping the ball with the ball in control with still 17, 18, 19 seconds on the play clock. You got a veteran coach in Tom Coughlin. You got a veteran quarterback in Eli Manning. It's situational coaching. It's stuff we talk about here with this organization. You guys, how many times have we practiced this stuff? Parcells did it. Belichick did it. Charlie Weiss. Go through every offensive coordinator. This one's on Eli Manning. I'm sorry. The whole thing's on him.
Two Super Bowl titles, Matt, just signed a big deal, and yet Eli Manning has said making critical mistakes that rookies shouldn't make.
I think this might have been one of the situations where you outsmart yourself. You're thinking too much, you know.
He's thinking about the Super Bowl from a couple years ago where Ahmad Bradshaw went down.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's times when it is appropriate to do what he was thinking, but he didn't do the calculation correctly. He wasn't tuned in on how many timeouts they had. And
You mean to tell me Josh and Bill aren't reminding Tom during timeouts? Yeah. Hey, I don't need to tell you this, but if it's not there, you know, go down. Don't throw it away. Don't stop the clock here.
Right.
That's just pure stupidity on the Giants' part.
Speaking of math, when we talk about the numbers in week one for the new PAT rule, from the 33, from the 15-yard line, the ball is snapped, longer kick for kickers, and we saw four misses in week one as opposed to eight in all of last year.
Yeah, I mean, math, it's over my head. But I go back to our game. A little bit of wind. And even though it's opening night, that torrential rain starts and it's raining sideways. I held my breath basically in every extra point because you're looking at it like it doesn't even look right. Yeah. It doesn't look right from the football. It was such a gimme prior to this that you can't take it for granted now.
But here's the big issue. It's ball handling. So the it has to still get from the center to the holder and then get down. So when you're doing the chip shot, if you don't get it down necessarily, you can still scab it a little bit and it'll still go through. When you get a little further off and everything is not perfect at that level, the error level kind of goes up slightly. So that's going to be the bigger issue. You talk about those teams and weather, it's getting it from here and getting it down. When you screw it up a little bit at that close, anyone can make that shot.
Since you're both sitting here in your sartorial splendor, let me ask you, thumbs up or thumbs down on the new uniforms for the San Francisco 49ers?
I want to go first on this. I think they're horrid. I think it's the worst thing I've ever seen. And you and I look at it differently because how would you call that game? How do you even see the numbers? Now, the Dallas Cowboys, the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Green Bay Packers, and formerly the San Francisco 49ers used to have, I thought, the most classic uniforms. Throw the Redskins in there even if you want to. Just pure old school type stuff, just don't touch it. The brand sells itself. They're getting too cute out there.
And I wasn't as down on them. I think they're on to something. They just went a little too far. The one thing I noticed the only thing it reminded me of, though, is it reminded me of those like high school all-star games where you just wear your own helmet on top of whatever
they
give you.
It's like a bad Pro Bowl.
Yeah, like it was mismatched. The thing was they had the gold as the little Nike symbol, and I think if they'd incorporated more gold, it would have made a little more sense. But not enough.
You're not Oregon. You're a pro football team.
Hate to do it to you, but as a play-by-play guy, I'm with my partner on this one. We'll continue with more Patriots This Week right after this.
All right, let's take a look at the Buffalo Bills. On offense, a lot of firepower. We can talk about Percy Harvin, Sammy Watkins. Let's talk about McCoy. Now, let's talk about the quarterback, Tyrod Taylor. Everybody's talking about this 51-yard touchdown pass he had. Now, I don't know what's more important here, whether this team's this good or whether this team's that bad. Simple go route, terrible coverage. Tyrod puts this ball. Look where he catches it. A little bit to the inside. The best pass would have been to the outside, fading it. Now, end zone shot. Take a look at what he's looking at here. You're looking into the teeth of the defense, and right here, looking left, getting ready to snap it. Watch the head. Straight up here. Should be looking to safety off. No, staring straight to that side. You're staring a receiver down the hallway. He sees Percy Harvin. See what I mean? The ball's a little to the inside. The Patriots will have some opportunities. Guys like Malcolm Butler on the outside, and even Devin McCourty, the safety. No way number 32 gets fooled if he's going to stare one way or the other. You better watch for Tyrod Taylor. He could kill you, but you also could fool him into throwing some picks. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
We are back in the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Patriots This Week continues as we shift focus once again to the Patriots game this weekend in Western New York against the Buffalo Bills. First time in franchise history, the Bills sold more than 60,000 season tickets. Fans were excited when Rex Ryan showed up for day one. They're even more excited now after game one for the Bills, and Rex certainly playing into that emotion this week, guys, as well as some of his players. A lot of talk about their dislike, if not hatred, quote unquote, for the Patriots.
Sounded just like Chan Gailey, right? Is that how it was when he was there? No. The answer.
That's terrible.
I think it's interesting that he's created the excitement that he has. I mean, there's a scheme advantages he has, but there's also his MO, the thing he likes to do. I personally love it. I think it's entertaining. I also think if I'm one of the players in this locker room, like a Rob Ninkovich or like a Nate Solder or like Devin McCourty, who's been in there a while, it rolls right off you because you've heard it so many times. It's Nightmare on Elm Street, like 15. You're not scared by the last one. You really don't take it so seriously. You can't be surprised. He's saying it's like, ha, 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 that's Rex.
I think he's great for the league. I've talked to you about this, you know, on all of our trips. I like Rex. You know, he reminds me a little bit of Bill Parcells for some reason. I think it's the bravado. I think he commands the room when he comes in. And we like going to Buffalo because the stadium's always electric. It's a great fan base. It really is. It's one of the quintessential pro football fan bases. But the ability to go in a stadium and attempt to shut up 68,000 screaming nut jobs, that's the fun part of it as a team, and I think Brady gets off on it.
We've got a young offensive interior for the Patriots, of course.
Yes.
And then you have Kyle Williams, now joined once again by Marcell Dareus, who comes off his suspension for the Bills, complicating things for those young linemen.
Well, chop them down, man. Cut them down.
Get their hands down as well, because Tom likes to hit those inside hot stuff. So one thing that you really need to understand here is, especially looking at Andrew Luck and the problems he had against them a week ago, the biggest issue is you need to make hay down the field when they're not pressuring
right.
you. They had a lot of times where they weren't successful on first down. Second and 10, Rex kills people. So if the Patriots don't get something done on first down, then you're going to see his weird pressure packages. Then you're in trouble. If it's second and 4, you're ahead of the curve.
I think it's the motor. I think Rex gets him going. I think he cranks it up. And the ability to push the pocket, Brady hates having people come up the middle because you can't step. And that makes you a little nervous as an older guy. The stuff coming off the edge, they should be able to handle it. Now, Rex has got to pick and choose when he's bringing guys off that slot. That's how he's going to get pressure on Brady.
Flip side, Matt Patricia's defense has to deal with the quarterback coming off really his first career start, although Matt Castle officially was the starting quarterback the Bills in that Wildcat formation. But Tyrod Taylor managed the game well, hit the big play when he needed to, both with his arm and his legs, the long touchdown pass to Harv on a 31-yard run for himself. How does that challenge this Patriots defense?
I thought he did as good a job as he possibly could. I really enjoyed watching him. I was very impressed. I mean, I watched him throughout the preseason, watched all his games, the snaps he took. I don't think this guy has limitations. Now, again, we're not putting him in the Pro Bowl or anything like that yet. But one of the things I was really impressed of in this game, I saw him just do just about everything you would expect. They did some of the scheme run stuff, yes. You saw some escapability out of the pocket. He had the big 32-yard run. But you also saw him stand in the pocket at 3, 5, and 7-step drops. You saw him do dash, which were they rolled him out. They did boot. They did everything. So the idea, I didn't see him struggle with things. And one of the big markers that I always look to when you look at these young quarterbacks and some of the ones that struggle, though, is they'll stare down things. And they'll never get to the check down. Or they'll get to the check down too late where they hit the check down.
He did it on a touchdown. On a 51-yard touchdown.
He gets to it quick.
Stared right and threw it right.
The quickness to get out of there, the linebackers can never rally. So I was really impressed with the guy. Again, it's a one-game sample, and Andy's defense is hot doo-doo. But it still was pretty good work by on his part.
And it's the intersection this weekend in Buffalo of two 1-0 teams in the AFC East. Pats and the Bills will come back with more on Patriots this week right after this.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam. Pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Brandon Cooks should be in your starting lineup this week. The Saints wideout should bounce back at home against a weak Tampa Bay secondary. Make sure you have Oakland's Latavius Murray grabbing some pine. The second-year back will struggle at home against a physical Ravens defense. This week's sleeper is Terrence Williams. Dallas's third-year receiver should see plenty of snaps versus Philly now that Dez Bryant is out. This week's fantasy update is brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
And upon return to the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios on Patriots This Week, time for our prediction for Sunday. final score, plus the game changer, Matt Chatham.
I think this is going to be an incredibly close game. I'm going to go 26-23, and I'm going to err on the side of the Patriots because we haven't seen a team beat them recently. So my game changer is actually going to be Scott Chandler. It's always nice to go back home again, and I think so much attention is going to go to Rob Gronkowski. He'll have some great opportunities.
I think it's going to have the ability or force Buffalo to have the ability to just get field goals. I got him 24-16. Patriots over the Bills. Game changer, Julian Edelman. Mm. Because why? He's the stick mover. This game's going to be predicated on picking up first downs, moving those sticks, not necessarily scoring a ton of points. Get the ball to Edelman's hands. He's your playmaker.
All right, you guys aren't going anywhere next week. Back with Patriots this week, of course, before the Pats take on Jacksonville in week 3 of the NFL season. Great job today. And looking ahead to Buffalo, though. Matt Chatham, Scott Zolak, I'm Bob Sosa. So long, everyone.